Mark was leading us, and he said, well, let's just start sharing stories of encouragement where we've seen God at work. And you know what? It was just what I needed to hear. I think I was quite quiet during the staff time, but other people were praying. And as I'd walked up the road this morning to Gate of Linden Gate, I was just feeling a bit of a kind of weight, thinking, gosh, God, I just need to focus my attention on who you are and remind myself. But then I meet with these wonderful people and I'm encouraged by others and reminded by them who Jesus is. Then I walk in here and Janet and I pray and we share and I'm encouraged again. I'm sitting down at the front and one of you wonderful, lovely people come over to me and say, hey, would you like me to pray for you? I'm like, yes, totally. I would like you to pray. And so my morning has just been these moments of being encouraged and strengthened by church family. And I needed it. And then we launch into... Mark, thank you so much for the hymns you've chosen. Lord, be my vision, supreme in my heart. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that's the place you should have, Jesus. Bid every rival give way and depart. You my best thought in the day or the night. Yeah, wow. And then we sing the second hymn. Lord Jesus, let these eyes of mine reflect your beauty and your grace. And so I'm just coming to you feeling hugely encouraged. And then really excited because we get to look at the book of Hebrews. We're just looking at a small part of it, but we could spend like all morning looking at this. We'll come to the point in a minute, but I encourage you to do this. Paul mentioned this on Sunday. If you go through the book of Hebrews, and everywhere you get to the word therefore, just underline it. So I started to do that. You can see all these little yellow tabs. You might not be able to see them here, but there's 16 of them in the book of Hebrews. And what you see in the book of Hebrews, it's like the whole of the Bible squashed and squeezed into one book in the Bible. It covers the whole breadth of it. And you see that just at the start of it. Listen to these words. This is chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. You know, just a little thing there. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Wow. And we're only two verses in to the book. So we pick it up way on in chapter 10. And we are just going to work our way through this. I love how it starts. It's another one of those therefore. Therefore, which immediately means we have to go and read back. And you keep bumping into therefore, so actually you find you really just need to read the whole book. So if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, why don't you read the whole of Hebrews? It's not that long. Be hugely encouraged. But therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let's just stop there and think about that. We've got the author of Hebrews, and we don't really know who the author of Hebrews is. Lots of ideas. I won't go into them now, but if you want to talk to me after, I can give you some suggestions. Talking to their brothers and sisters. That will be a reference to those in Jesus, the community of people who are following Jesus. So there is an encouragement once to another in these words. Since we have confidence, there's that reminder to each other. Hey, remember who Jesus is. And then think about that from a Jewish perspective. Okay, let's just imagine over here we've got the Old Testament Jewish culture. The tabernacle and then the temple is central to their community. It has the gates that you enter, the outer court and then the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. You weren't allowed in there. Stay away. God is present there. And so there it was. And once a year, the high priest is allowed to go in to the Holy of Holies. And so to them, that represents the presence of God. And then you think about these words. So we're into a New Testament reality here. Now, Jesus is the center of that, around which it all revolves. He brought in the New Testament, not to do away with the old, but to fulfill the old covenant. So we've got a Jewish people still centered as the people of God on worship of God. We get all that happens at the crucifixion. The curtain temple torn in two. The way to the Holy of Holies made open to all. It's massive. In a Jewish society, this was huge. This was the place that no one was allowed to go. And yet God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. The fulfillment of the covenant that I made with you way back in with Abraham is here in Jesus. And it means the Holy of Holies is open to you. Not that they can physically go into it, because they don't need to now. Because as Jesus said, he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in them, so we each become, built together, the temple. So here we are, together, a small part of the temple of God, the church. Now notice, confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament reality, that would have been offensive. And yet, God is stirring up and saying, no, this is a new way of doing things, but it's still his eternal covenant. So, hold on to that. And we see those words. Verse 20, by a new and living way opened up through the curtain, that is Jesus' body. And now look at this. And since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. I love that. Anyone ever had moments in your life, seasons in your life, where you're thinking, Jesus, are you really here for me? Are you really there? Anyone ever doubted? I have. You don't need to put your hands up, but do if you want. It's a part of walking with Jesus, and yet here we read full assurance. And that is where I think, remember, he's talking to brothers and sisters. And so when one of us in our midst is going through a season where we're just in that place of doubt or wonder or big questions, it's actually us who come together and encourage each other to say, hey, remember Jesus, you can have full assurance that he is Lord. Full assurance. Let's keep going, because we're only just warming up in the passage, and I'm 8 minutes in. Let's keep reading. So, full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. There's all these references back into the Old Testament. That's why I talk about Hebrews as encapsulating the whole of the stories of God's people and God's interaction with them in a single book. So here we have this reference to the Old Testament sacrifices, the sprinkling of the people with the blood after the sacrifice has been made. And now we see Jesus as the one sacrifice for all that is wholly sufficient, whereas the Old Testament wasn't. So those sacrifices, they had to keep on repeating them to atone for the sins of the people. Here in Jesus, he died for all, once for all, that all might be saved if they would come and follow him. And the same analogy is there. Our hearts sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, which again, for a traditional Jew, this would have been an offensive word. So just allow a moment to think. The writer of Hebrews is confronting people with the reality of the gospel. It's not like a gentle, just let me talk to you about Jesus and just ease you in. It's like, bam, there it is, in your face.
Wow, okay, I've got a lot to think about here. Having our bodies washed with pure water, cleansed from a guilty conscience, just the most beautiful words. Wherever we're at, Jesus' sacrifice sufficient to cleanse us from our sins. Nothing we can do that can take us to a point of being away from God that is not redeemable by saying, God, I'm here, I'm sorry. I want to know you. In that instant, whether we do it again and again and again, God brings us back and redeems us and brings us into the presence of his Son through his Spirit. So, because of all of that, let us hold unswervingly, big words again, to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Wow. Have you ever stopped and thought, what does it look like to hold unswervingly to our faith in Jesus? I mean, it's like huge, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but we talked about doubt just a moment ago. There's those moments where you think, yeah, I'm totally on it. I am holding on, swerving to it. Then there's those days where you think, where was Jesus today? Again, we're a people together. We call each other back and we say, hey, just remember Jesus. Come close to him. Because he sprinkled you with his blood. He's cleansed you from a guilty conscience. You're welcome to come and be present with him. And we do that for each other.
And then to remind us that that's what we do, having started with, therefore, brothers and sisters, the writer says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That word, spur, it's a really strong word. It may not seem that strong here, but it is like provoke, stimulate, in a positive sense. What does that look like in the midst of our community? It looks like a whole load of things. It looks like one of you coming over and praying for me before this gathering started. It looks like conversations during our time of refreshments where we're going to say to each other, hey, how's it been this week? Meaning, I want to know, how's it been this week? How's your walk with Jesus going? And not judging, response, no. For being those who remind and encourage and strengthen each other. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I mean, remarkably, there must have been people who were isolating themselves from the community when the writer of Hebrews was writing. Otherwise, why would they have said it? But we're here. Our hearts are with those who maybe the weather has meant they can't be here with us. For those who've moved away from this community, we heard about Valerie, have to move. Our heart's actually still with these people. And so we're a community again. Encouraging one another, there it is again. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now we're going to come into finish here. So I mentioned at the start, going through Hebrews, looking for all the therefores. Underline them, stick a tab in your Bible, whatever. I just want to read this one at the end. The last therefore in Hebrews chapter 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. We're a community of people reminding each other of who Jesus is. That he welcomes us, invites us into relationship. And we're called to encourage one another to then profess Jesus. Yes, one to another, but also to those
that the Holy Spirit leads us to when we're not here gathered. And so I wonder, as we draw to a close, if we might pray together a bold and courageous prayer that is really simple. So if you'd like to join me in that, I'm going to pray just line by line and leave space, and you can join if you like. It's only going to be a few words. Just join me in prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you are Lord. We thank you that you invite each of us into relationship with you. And we ask, would you, by your Spirit, lead each of us this week to those people you would have us profess our faith in you to. Would you give us courage to be a people who proclaim you, Jesus, to others? In your name we ask this. Amen.